This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 634. I am Lisa Sheps. I will be joined at some point by my co-host, Miss Nicole Shiro. You are listening to us on KOOP HD1, HD3, Hornsby, and KOOP.org. Remember, folks, if it's theater, it's on Offstage and On the Air. Stick with us.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Yeah. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh, yeah.
And sing on ya, Mabagiti Baba.
It is Wednesday, September 15th, 2021. On the show today, we have Texas Comedy's Boomtown, Georgetown Palace Theater, Lost in Yonkers, and later we'll be talking to someone from Broadway Across America, My Fair Lady in Houston, Texas. And of course, Nicole and I will have lively discussions of the world of theater wherever we want to be talking from. Stick with us. Okay, we had a glitchy technical start. Nicole, are you with us?
I am. I could hear everything before. You just couldn't hear me.
Well, we did not have control of the airwaves at the time, so I believe there was a lot of dead air, so I'm going to apologize to my listeners right now. I've been doing this thing for 13 years, and you'd think I would know better. That was totally on yours truly. So we only have just a few minutes to talk because we have a jam-packed show.
Well, I just have to say that you were playing our favorite song again. I think we could just play that all the time.
That, of course, is The Circle of Life from The Lion King. And I'm playing that. Why?
Because it opened back on Broadway.
It opened back on Broadway. We have, here's a quiz. We had 4 shows open yesterday, which we'll talk about in a second. And considering the other shows that are open on Broadway, can you guess how many shows are running right now?
7, I believe.
6.
Oh, 6, because Bruce closed.
Because he closed, right. So open yesterday was Chicago, Wicked, Hamilton, and the aforementioned Lion King. And then one straight play started previews, which is Lackawanna Blues.
Correct. And 6 is now in rehearsals, getting ready to finally actually, hopefully.
Yeah, we actually have a whole list that I'm about to go through, which includes 6. So there's a lot of shows. And it didn't really dawn on me before, but it's apparent now. When these shows open back up, they're coming back in where they were before. So if they were open, they just are starting performances again. If they were in previews, they continue previews until they have an opening. Which
correct.
I didn't really think about that through until I saw that. So the shows, I forgot to mention that Waitress is open. Of course, we talked about that. Here are the shows that are opening soon that were open or in previews prior to shutdown. So Ain't Too Proud is coming back October 16th. Aladdin, September 28th. The Book of Mormon, November 5th. Presumably, they will have made a lot of changes to the show. Come From Away, September 21st. Company comes back into previews on December 20th. Dear Evan Hansen, December 11th. Diana, who, by the way, if you check offstageonair.com, you can see the trailer of the film that they did. Diana starts previews November 2nd. Girl from the North Country reopens October 13th. Harry Potter and the Cursed Child as one show opens on November 12th, or reopens on November 12th. Jagged Little Pill starts previews. No, they're reopening October 21st.
I think they're a reopener.
Lehman Brothers previews September 25th. And the Minutes previews start March 22nd. Moulin Rouge, September 24th, Mrs. Doubtfire, previews October 21st, Phantom of the Opera, that's in previews, October 22nd. Six, as you talked about, is in previews starting September 17th. Tina, the Tina Turner musical, October 8th reopens. To Kill a Mockingbird reopens October 5th. Da da!
Yeah, lots of those commercials have been coming on up here in the East.
Yep, you are exciting. You are in the East. So I just want to talk about a couple things. We really don't have a lot of time because most of our stuff is guests. So I'm going to direct people to offstageonair.com and the things that we would have talked about in detail. We had a couple of openings. One was, oh my God, I forgot the name of it. And I didn't write it down. Oh my Lord.
Overseas or in the U.S.?
No, in the U.S.
Yep,
but there'll be it's the end of the Apple saga, the Rhinebeck saga, and I can't remember the name of it, and I did not put it in my notes, so I apologize to everybody. But those things will be there. There's also a slew of articles from the New York Times talking about the reopening. There was so much going on for the opening. Did you see any of the late night stuff, or did you see any of the stuff on television? I'm sure you did.
Yes, it'll be happening all week, and actually our man Esteban is on tonight.
Yeah, I'm not talking about what's coming up in the future. When I asked if you had seen something, that was in the past.
Oh, well, it's only been two nights so far. It's all week.
Right.
So
did you see anything in the past two nights?
I just watched little clips of it. Didn't watch it live. I watched clips of it afterwards.
Okay. Well, the only thing I really saw, I saw bits and pieces. There was a great... they started shooting at the curtain call of Hamilton, through the curtain call and into the finish off of the orchestra playing off at the end. And they were, after the bows were done, they all stayed on stage and danced, which was really sort of cool.
Yeah, a lot of the theaters have been doing that, or going out on the balcony and singing with the audience, which I think is just another way to connect, because, you know, we're filling everybody's soul right now with the magic of theater.
This is true. So really, I need to back up because we had such a rough start. I want to thank Kim Simpson for another wonderful International Folk Bazaar, and it's part of a Latino Cultural Heritage Month. So, and he started that out with some really great stuff. And when he mentioned Costa Rica, Nicaragua,
great stuff,
and Honduras, I was able to say that I've been to all of those places. I'm sorry, Nicole, what did you say?
Kim always just plays such wonderful stuff.
He really does. I also need to mention to our listeners that we are starting next week our membership drive. So if you want to get a jump on that, you can go to koop.org and donate now. Remember, we want to show Co-op that the theater community is supporting this radio station and helping us stay on the air and thrive after this crazy 18 months. And now my final question to you, Ms. Nicole Shiro, before we go off on a break, is, did you see the Come From Away movie or taping?
I didn't, and I was just having a conversation. We should all watch that as a family, so it's on the agenda to do very shortly. Did you get to see it?
I did. Of course I did. I liked it. I liked it a lot, but I will say this, and I had some friends with me watching it, and they loved it. They had never seen it before. So that would be the reaction from that piece. I don't think it translates to watch the staged version on TV, because
really?
You lose that energy. So it's more of a, you know, there's not really a narrative per se. It's a whole bunch of stories woven together with this beautiful music. And the energy of having those people live was really missing for me. That being said, well worth watching. And of course it premiered on September 11th, and it's talking about, for those that don't know, which I'd be surprised if our listeners don't know. Well, tell folks what the show is.
It is about all the planes after September 11th, where they all had to plan and, land in this small town in Newfoundland in Canada, and it's the story of all the different people coming together, from random strangers to pilots, the whole nine yards.
Right, and it's
just a very touching, powerful show.
It really is, and it's staged in such a wonderful way. I just love the way it's staged. And you get a sense of that on the filmed version. But if you have not seen it live, I would encourage you to go ahead and watch it on the film version. But also, if you get a chance to see it live, because I think it makes a difference.
Wow, I'm kind of surprised, because even when you just watch one song, it's so powerful that I thought it would really translate well filmed as a play or as a musical.
I think it's not necessarily the songs per se, because the songs translate pretty well. It's all the interstitial stuff. I just, it just doesn't have the energy that it, I mean, it has the energy within inside that little box of a television, but that energy does not come out to the rest of us. I just think it's the type of thing that really needs to be seen live. That's just my opinion.
I hear you.
So with that...
I hear you, Lisa.
What?
I hear you.
Yeah.
I said, I hear you, Lisa.
With that, we're going to take a break. And as soon as we come back from break, we're going to listen to... our interview with the Texas Comedies folks, John Cecil and company, which we always have a really...
Okay, that was a lot of fun.
It was indeed. And so we will listen to a little bit of Come From Away. This is one of the more poignant songs called I Am Here. We will be right back.
Here, I am here on an island. Hello, hello, it's me again. Yeah, my son, he's with Rescue 2.
All right, here we are in the Zoom room with, our favorite guest ever, Nicole.
One of our favorite guests, and I'm kind of loving, like, the guitar, the jazz hands, the fist pumps. I mean, there's so much going on right now. This is, super exciting.
We're very excited.
Yeah.
There you go. Well, let me introduce...
One little Zoom box here.
Yeah. We
got morning coffee.
Hold on, I have not introduced you yet, so you cannot speak.
Okay.
This is going to be in the show. These are the folks from Texas Comedies, our very dear friend, John Cecil. Welcome back, John.
Hi, everybody.
And Josh Meindertzma. How are you, Josh? Good to see
Hi,
you again. And Heath Allen. Hey, Heath.
Hi. Heath, right here.
Wonderful. So we've had Texas Comedies on multiple times, and always fun. We may even had Boomtown on back when you did it in 2014.
Super different version.
Yeah.
Super different.
An SDV, as we like to call it.
Yeah, super different version. Exactly.
Yeah. So, John, tell us about this version of Boomtown.
Well, so we took the old Boomtown and basically we blew it up. There was a lot of petroleum products, so it made a big explosion. Because, of course, Boomtown is set in Borger, Texas, which is out in the Panhandle. It was based on a true story. Ace Borger, he came out there. There was oil booming, and he built a town overnight. Made like $1 million in one night. Literally, this is true. And then crazy things happened to town. It turned into, quote, the most dangerous town in Texas. The Texas Rangers were called in. They declared martial law. Ranger Frank Hammer, famous for hunting down Bonnie and Clyde, also came and shut down the town. And then something happened to Ace Borger, which I just can't tell you.
Oh, my God.
There's only one way to find out.
How's that, John? How would you find out?
I would go, personally... I would go see the musical comedy Boomtown that's playing at Dooryard Center. That's what I would do.
Or well, you can pay me a small bribe and I'll message you what happened to Borger.
Or you can Google it.
There you go. So Josh Meindertzma, you're like in every single one of these shows.
It's in my contract with John that I have.
I think so. And you were also in Boomtown in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
Are you playing the same role? And what role is that?
I do play the same role. It's Huey. I play the man who sells the land to Ace Borger in the first place that starts the whole town. And as I see the success of the town grow, I become mad, a little resentful.
So mad.
This person is using my land and taking all the money and the glory and the power that I should rightfully have on my own. But for some reason, I don't have. So... It weighs heavy on my shoulders, and there's a big loser. No, or yes, maybe I am. So I see all of this going on, and I'm scheming on my own. What can I do to get back at him, or to get in the good graces of my wife, because she looks at me as a loser. Yeah,
well, and a 3D loser like this.
yes, an L7. An
L7. Very, yeah. Now that was before, that is a reference before your time. folks will know that from Frankie Avalon and Annette Funicello movies. Heath, what do you play?
I play the titular Ace Borger.
He's titular.
Ah.
And who's
well, I don't know if you'd be the titular, because if it was the That's titular, true. You'd be playing Boomtown.
That's true. Because he just said, it's
that's,
early.
That's like saying eponymous, too, yeah.
Yeah, you just wanted to say titular.
That's true. I do like that
But
word.
It's all about Borger, this show, and he is Ace Borger.
Yeah. That's true.
And,
thinking of John's book called Borger.
Yeah.
Well, awesome. So your shows are always so much fun. John Cecil, are you also in it?
Well, I direct the show and I'm in the band. So when you hear the music, that's partly me. And there's three or four other musicians.
Speaking of music, you're prepared to do us a little song live here on the Zoom.
If that's okay. Yeah, is that okay?
I don't know. Nicole, let's discuss this. But
I mean, why would we ever have a live performance on a show about theater? That's just exactly. So ridiculous. And
we usually have to talk to the boys upstairs about this, but we're going to go ahead and make an exception in this case.
Okay. All right. So
bring it on.
All right. So this, just to set it up for you, and I think this song applies to everybody in this past year.
Right.
Because, you know, people were saying, Ace, you need to get out while the getting's good. Because things are going well, but guess what happens with a boom town? What happens to a boom eventually? Why is it called a boom?
Because it busts.
It busts. Yeah. And people said, Ace, you need to get out of boom town before it goes bust. And he said, no. And this is what I'm saying about this whole year. And that's the reason we're doing a show this coming week, because of this thematic reference that you'll hear many, many times.
And also, this is the first town that he names after himself. Borger.
That's right.
It's true. That's the titular. The town is Borger.
Change the name. That's right.
Circle that square.
I won't.
He won't.
I won't.
He won't.
I won't.
He won't.
I won't.
He won't.
You want me to call it a day?
Nah.
You want me to just run away?
No.
Grow my hair long, never shave?
What?
Live on my own in a cave?
Okay.
That's probably what you would do. You don't have the balls or the grit. But listen now, because I'm telling you.
What?
I won't quit.
Quit.
I won't quit.
Quit.
You think I should just admit defeat? Need a judicious retreat?
Maybe.
Wander around and just cry? Lay down and wait to die? Maybe that's what you would do, but something in me won't submit. I'm going to see it all through.
Why?
I won't quit.
Quit.
I won't quit.
Quit.
All right, look, let's just meet this DA tonight, and we'll offer him a lot to leave town.
What if he's not reasonable?
He'll be reasonable.
What if he's not?
Then show him your two friends. Go ahead, just an edit to town. You're dead to me. You are less than little. Go and get a job as a babysitter. As for me, I'll never be a quitter.
That's right.
You want me to just disappear?
Sure.
Take the first train ride out of here?
Yeah.
Run away and hide in the trees?
Uh-huh.
Change my name, learn Senegalese?
Right.
That's probably what you would do. Like, you want me to just abdicate? But I have a chance to think it through. Won't capitulate.
What?
I won't quit.
I won't.
He won't.
I won't quit.
I won't.
He won't.
I won't quit.
I won't.
He won't.
I won't quit.
Excellent. I quit.
Don't quit.
You know what Heath won't do? He won't quit.
He won't quit. That is a very, very fun song. Thank you so much for sharing it with us. So tell us when this show takes place.
You mean
in real life?
In real life.
When do you open and when do you close?
The show sets in the 1920s, but much later than in the 2020s. We're doing it here at the Doherty Arts Center Theater starting September 14th. No, 16th. September 16th, Thursday, next Thursday. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then the next weekend, which is 23, 24, 25.
And when our audience is hearing this, because we're pre-recording this, that opens tomorrow.
Whoa, tomorrow. It's tomorrow. We better get ready.
I better get ready.
Opens tomorrow.
The sun will come out.
Okay. It will come out tomorrow. And it also creeps in this petty pace. So where can folks go to get more information about the show?
Well, I would go to texascomedies.com.
Texascomedies.com. So we know that we are in the age of COVID. So people are going to want to know, this is an indoor presentation. What COVID mitigation procedures are in place for this show?
Well, I'm glad you asked me that, because we're going to have audience masking. There's going to be social distancing in the seating. There's plenty of room in the seating. We're limiting the number of people allowed in for each performance so that we can have plenty of spacing. It's roughly an hour long show. And
also we'll be separate. We'll be further away from the audience than normal too.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
But you can still hear us, and you can still hear Keith build that song. Yeah.
Cause he won't quit.
I was like, he won't quit.
We've considered doing an outdoor show on our final night. We're still looking at that. That's still kind of up in the air.
Right. I know.
Fireworks.
Oh, for the fireworks. That's excellent. I love that idea. Well, very good. And what about, will concessions be open at that point? Or are you keeping concessions closed so that masks can stay on?
So at Authority Arts Center Theater, yeah, we're probably not having concessions. So you need to drink across the street and come over. That's not a plug for anybody. I don't know who's across the street, but that's what I would do.
Any street.
Alma's is across the street.
I was like, I would go get myself a mini taqueritas and a mango margarita and then boomtown it.
There you go.
That's a plan.
We won't quit. Well, you guys, thank you once again for coming on the show. We always have a good time having you on.
Yeah, it's
well,
great.
Thank
it's great
you. We love
yeah,
it.
Yeah, thank you. You made my day.
Appreciate you having
us. Have fun in Houston.
It's been
or
too
in
long.
Your round robin. Sorry.
Yeah. Go ahead. It's been too long since I've seen those faces, so it's good to see you both.
I know. We're looking forward to having you back in person once we can.
Well, thanks, guys. Bye.
Many times I've seen them born, then wither, die, or only go ghosts.
There's too many people everywhere. Too many people.
Children grow up, leave them, and the city sadly cannot be saved.
Can't walk because all the dang people.
This one's different, I can tell. It's gonna prosper well, unlike most.
Put up to your ankles. Filthy.
Since we had the sewer built and oversaw the main street get paved.
Fortune to be made. Fortune.
Boomtown, I want to see a boomtown.
Boomtown, boomtown,
boomtown.
Yeah, so that's they are just always so much fun.
That was a lot of fun, that interview.
It was. So I just need to tell folks that I do remember the reviews. It was What Happened, The Michaels Abroad, and it's all part of the Rhinebeck. It's the last show of the whole Rhinebeck series that Richard Nelson did. And the other review I had was the Come From Away film. So you can see the review of that at offstageonair.com. So I also saw, speaking of trailers, the Diana trailer, which I mentioned, and you can see a link to that. There's also a new trailer that just came out today for the new West Side Story film. And oh my God, did you see it?
I did. And I kind of just fell in love and was like, I don't think I've been that kind of excited about the West Side Story until I saw it today. I thought it was really good.
Me either. A head and tail better than the first trailer.
Yes. Looks, I'm like, why didn't you do this before?
Exactly. It looks amazing from the cinematography to the acting to the dancing to everything. It just looks amazing.
Everything. Yeah.
Look, we agree.
We agree.
Did you see that they have come up with Tony hosts?
I did. Although I'm still annoyed by that you have to go to Paramount Plus and CBS to watch stuff, but I kind of love the two hosts that they have.
Right. So to remind folks, the two hosts would be, the first host on Paramount Plus is Audra McDonald, the incomparable.
Got it.
Seven Tony winner, I believe. I could have that number wrong. But at least seven. And then for the CBS televised, which will have all the musicals and performances, will be one Leslie Odom. Leslie
I'm missing a name. Junior.
Leslie Odom Jr. You're missing the junior.
I was missing the junior part.
You're just missing a suffix. Oh, gosh. Boy, I can't speak today either.
The suffix. Whatever. We'll take that. I just wanted to make sure that people knew that I wasn't off my gourd. It was just such a wacky beginning of the day. And I do apologize also for the audio quality of the Boomtown interview. I had my microphone set for something that we were doing at the theater, which was not compatible with Zoom interviews. But I believe I have that fixed now.
Well, you know what? We have to learn. That's trial and error.
It's a wacky day. So let's jump into our next interview, which is with the prolific guest, Georgetown Palace Theater. And this is that lovely Neil Simon gem, Lost in Yonkers.
I love me some Lost in Yonkers.
Well, here it is. Oh boy, I am so fortunate to be with our very good friends, Georgetown Palace Theater, and a bevy of human beings joining us here in the Zoom room, talking about their show, Lost in Yonkers, or as I like to call it, Lost in Yonkers by Neil Simon. Here we have, you know what I'm going to do, just because I know how I do it myself, I'm going to allow you to introduce yourselves. So that's going to just make my life so much easier today. So I'm going to say, Christine, introduce yourself.
My name is Christine Bush, and I am playing Bella in the Blue Cast.
And Stacy?
My name is Stacy Meisitschlager, and I play Grandma in the Blue Cast.
And Allie?
Hi, I'm Allie Lamus, and I play Bella in the Red Cast.
And Amato?
And I'm Amado de Hoyos, and I play Uncle Louie in both casts.
Okay, and we also have the director here, Jacob Abrams. Hi, Jacob.
Hi, how are you?
I am groovy. Any better than I would be twins. And then, of course, Ron Watson, who's always here with us, who is the artistic director over at Georgetown Palace Theater, and doing absolutely nothing for this production.
Yeah, sure. I didn't do anything at all.
No, I know the drill. I see you have a Republican and a Democratic cast. that leads me to believe there are two different casts.
That's correct.
Ron, tell us about that and tell us why you're doing it. And well, that's about it. That's what I'm curious about.
Yeah. So actually, I'll let Jacob answer that. He's it was his choice. So he had some really good reasons.
Jacob, it's on you now.
Okay, well, I thought that it might be prudent during this time of we're coming up, hopefully getting over the hump of COVID-19, but at the time that I cast this play, it was certainly still in full swing. I guess it might still be, really. And I thought it would be prudent to have two very good casts that are there. And I spoke to all of the actors and I said, listen, if somebody cannot continue the show, can you do the run by yourself? And to a person, all of them said yes. I guess another really good element is that I had just some wonderful people to cast. Both of my Bellas, both of my Grandmas, and then my boys that play Jay and Artie are all just spectacular. And I'm thrilled to have them all in a position where they can go on and do this production and really show their stuff.
Well, first of all, I was really happy to hear that answer. I think that's a great thing to do. As someone who just opened a show, we were sweating every single day. If anybody came with a positive test, we would have had to close the show. So mazel tov on that. So there are seven characters in this show. Did you double cast all seven?
I didn't double cast all seven. I double cast everyone except for Louie and Eddie. Gert was originally double cast. The person that I had for the red cast wasn't able to continue because of just personal things. And but the other Gert, Anna Becker, was able to just do the run by herself. And I had complete trust in her to be able to do that.
And how are you scheduling? Is it every other show? Is it how did you decide on which cast plays which night?
That is correct. It's every other show, and in some cases, if they have some sort of conflict, they're able to use their opposite number in either the red or blue cast to go on for them. That hasn't happened yet. I think it might happen for the first time this weekend, actually.
How many phone a friends do they get?
They can, if as long as the show can go on, I'm fine. During rehearsal, I would have them go back and forth and swap out so that they got used to working with the different Bellas, the different grandmas, the different boys, so that they can still have that chemistry.
Well, that's awesome. We sort of put the cart before the horse in that I usually talk about this kind of stuff after the beginning, but I was just so intrigued by it. So Lost in Yonkers premiered on Broadway in the 90s, I believe, by Neil Simon. Tell us about the show. What do people want to know about the show? What are they gonna, what should they expect?
Okay, this is a very funny show, but it's also very poignant and extremely dramatic. You're talking about, you have the boys that are in every single scene in the show, and the boys are age appropriate. They're actually 13, maybe 14 in one case, and then 15. So they are the age of the boys that are in the script. But I think that it's really Bella's story. She's the one that makes the tremendous character arc. And we really see her go from emotionally, in many ways, almost a girl to a fully realized woman. And it's a very painful journey, but it's beautiful at the end. And I think that the Bellas that I have and the grandmas that I have are all absolutely stellar. And I couldn't be more pleased with their performances.
So this, like many Neil Simon pieces, is a family show, right? It talks about a family.
Yes, it is a family show. And I think that even though he denies it, I think that it's very possibly autobiographical. He also mentions Bella. He mentions Bella, and I feel like he must have known someone who was Bella. He said that he saw, of course, someone who, you know, probably had some emotional issues, being just absolutely abused by her mother, and he felt so sorry for her. I almost have the suspicion that it goes beyond that.
Well, you know, it's well known that he had a very short affair with Bella Adzub in the 80s. I just totally made that up.
This is the same. This is not the same inspiration.
I know. So Christine and Stacy, you are in the blue cast.
Yes.
And Allie and Amato, you are in the red cast. Tell us how the... we'll start with you, Christine, since you're on the upper left of my screen. Tell us about this experience of working on the show, and working in this very unique environment for a theatrical production.
Well, it's my first experience at the Palace. My husband and I just recently moved to the area from Houston. And
I've heard of that place.
Yes, yes. But I have to say that they were welcoming from the absolute start. And Stacy and I really think that we clicked from the beginning as Grandma and Bella, and we had some really, really nice chemistry going on. And so pairing wise, I think that it was top notch. And just the whole cast in general, even crossing over, performing with the different grandmas and the different casts, there's just something about this group that really seems to jive no matter what combination that we're put in. So it's been a great experience so far.
And Stacey, you're playing Grandma?
Yes, I play Grandma with Christine mostly, but Allie is a wonderful Bella as well. I'm a theater teacher, as many of us are in the cast. And actually, one of the boys, Artie, is my student, my current student, eighth grade theater student. And that's been wonderful as well. He's a part of the blue cast with me and Chris. And it's been really neat to watch him bloom on stage and develop his characters. And I mean, these kids have a lot of guts to get on stage with adults and hold their own and steal the show sometimes. Like, he takes chances and does bold things and has really made a nice character. And I've been a very proud theater teacher to watch that happen. So that has been a part of the experience in the Blue Cast for me, and I am very grateful to have seen that. It's very rewarding to perform on stage with one of your current theater students.
That is absolutely amazing. That must be just a total kick. And Amato, who do you play again in the Red Cast?
And I'm Uncle Louie for both casts.
Oh, you're in both casts. You're in the Purple Cast. Awesome. So tell us about Uncle Louie.
Uncle Louie is kind of the on the run mobster brother. So he's there kind of really to help drive the story forward in a lot of ways. It's not typically a character that I would normally get cast at. So it's been a lot of fun for me to try.
Why, you look like a gangster to me.
the other brother is kind of like a little bit more sympathetic, and that's normally me. So this is something I went out for though, and was fortunate to get, and it's been a lot of fun.
Gangster's got to be kind of fun to play.
Oh, it's amazing, yeah. And you know, it's just a shame that the young kids, they steal a show every night, so I don't get, you know, they steal my thunder.
Let me give you all a little piece of advice. Never work with animals or children.
But children bring, you know, families and aunts and uncles and friends from class. So children bring big audiences.
That's true. And Allie, finally, you're playing Bella in the other cast. How's that experience? And then also, I'm just interested whether y'all rehearse together and how that that does. I had the opportunity to share a role once in a production of House of Yes, and I played it 180 degrees different than my cohort. So we never rehearsed together because it would have been really weird. So how is it for you?
Well, it's actually been wonderful. This is actually my first time sharing a role with anyone before. So it's been an experience in its own, and couldn't have done it with a better person than Christine, because we clicked immediately. We get along so well. We have so much in common. There are times where I can't believe how similar in a lot of ways that we are. And so it's been just really fun getting to know Christine on a personal level, but then also getting to sort of be in this journey together, playing this wonderful character. In the beginning, we went through our first run through, we had everybody there, our first read through, everybody there. But then we sort of split off for blocking rehearsals. We were separate. We had Red Cast and then Blue Cast would rehearse. And for most of the rehearsal process, we were separate. But then we would, as we got closer to opening, we would have some shared rehearsals where we would all come together and say one cast would do act one and then the other cast would do act two. Sometimes we would flip-flop the grandmas and the boys. And so like Jacob had said, we just all mesh really well together, even amongst the two casts. And I think it's been such an incredible experience to get to work with different actors, even if you maybe don't end up working with them in the actual performance. It's been really wonderful. I just I'm so grateful for the experience. So
sure, that's fascinating. It's really fascinating. Jacob or Ron, do you have a red and blue crew as well?
No, we don't. We have the same crew.
Okay, you just make them work.
That would be a little too much to ask of anyone.
So you guys open, well, for us, you opened in the past. But not for us. We are pre-recording this. We're recording this on Thursday, the 9th. And you are, is it? Yeah, it is Thursday. You open tomorrow night.
Yes.
How are
they? Well, we opened.
Actually, no, they opened the past weekend.
Oh. That is correct. I'm sorry.
Oh, it says September 3rd to October 3rd. Sorry, I misread. So never mind. Just forget what I just said. You're open and you're running. Mm-hmm. That is awesome. So tell us, Ron, when, what are the dates that people can see it?
Every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Fridays and Saturdays are 7:30 p.m. at the Palace Playhouse. And then Sundays are 2 p.m. Again, at the Palace Playhouse, in this until October 3rd.
Okay, and this is in the black box, not in the big theater.
Correct. The small intimate black box, which is incidentally just a perfect venue for shows like this. You're
sure
up close and personal with the cast, and It just worked. These types of shows just work so well in that format.
Awesome. And where can folks go to get more information about this show?
It's the Georgetown Palace website. So georgetownpalace.com.
Awesome. Well, thank you all for joining us on Offstage and on the Air. I hope I see you again.
Excellent. Thank you so much for having us, Lisa.
Okay. Take care.
Thank you, Lisa.
We're lost in the woods somewhere in New Jersey, and we're never going to make it to L.A. We're lost
and it's cold,
and it won't stop raining.
Let's just go.
No, not that way.
No backup plan.
No food.
No phone.
No adult supervision.
We're lost in the woods and we'll never leave New Jersey if none of us are making a decision.
We're lost in the woods and we're never leaving Jersey. La 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 la. I bet you can't tell me what show that's from.
No, where is it from? Because I was like, what is that song?
That's from The Lightning Thief.
I've only heard it once before.
I've never heard it before. So listen, we're popping in before our last interview. And you know what we're going to do? You're going to be very happy.
What?
Today in theater history.
What happened, Lisa, today in theater history?
Pick a date. Let's just start. You choose a date, and that's what I'll tell you about.
September 15th. Isn't that today?
No, what? A year, silly. They're all September 15th.
1972.
Okay, well, interesting. 1972. You ruined my joke because you chose one that I had.
Oh.
Jacques Brel is alive and living in Paris, transferred from Off-Broadway to Broadway in 1972. Off-Broadway, it played 1,847 performances.
Wow, that's a lot.
And then on Broadway, it only played 51. So, I mean, it really goes to show you that there is a difference. You know, some shows are just not made for...
better in these... smaller space, in different spaces than others. That's interesting.
That's why I was very surprised when I saw it was a Broadway tour of Little Shop. I said, how are they going to put such a small, intimate show in the Bass Concert Hall? But I think they did a really good job of making it seem
Speaking
smaller.
Speaking of that, it's coming back off Broadway because I saw that commercial this morning and got very excited.
It came back off Broadway. It's open now.
Oh, I didn't see the open now. That I was just thought it started getting off.
That's the Jeremy Jordan. And I meant to tell you about that. I saw the performance of Jeremy Jordan, and Christian Borle is in it. Jeremy Jordan did a good job. I don't normally like him as much as I liked him in that one little
show. I still got to tell you, Gideon Glick rocked my world.
Yeah, well, except he's not doing it right now.
I know he's not, but that Christian Borle, I'm so glad he still is, because amazing.
Yeah. Okay, we got to get moving. 1938. We've talked about this show on our show quite a bit, Our Town by Thornton Wilder. But in 1938, on this date, Thornton Wilder himself steps in as the stage manager.
That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, he filled in for Frank Craven, who was playing it. And he put back some of the words that the producer took out during rehearsal. I think that's kind of funny.
Well, I mean, I guess it's kind of, if you are the playwright and then you're stage managing, I guess you have that power.
Well, you're not saying he was playing the stage manager. He wasn't stage managing.
Oh. Okay, but I still guess you have that power.
Yeah. And in 1976, opening on Broadway was for Color Girls Who Have Considered Suicide When the Rainbow Is Enough by Nozaki Shenge, which had a revival, I think, during the pandemic.
I believe so, Lisa, or close to it. Yeah, I think so. Because we just talked about that recently, too.
So, and in 2010, the marquee of the newly named Stephen Sondheim Theater lit up for the first time.
Oh, Esteban.
And for extra credit, can you tell me what the theater was called prior to that?
Oh, I forgot.
Yeah, I wouldn't have known. I don't remember. I don't even remember this theater, the Henry Miller Theater.
Yes. Now that you say it, it's like, oh, yes, that was it. But
so more of today's birthdays is Agatha Christie, who was born in 1890.
Oh, and the new Agatha Christie was on PBS last night. So good.
There you go. Fay Wray, who I never think of as a theater person, but I'm sure she was. 1907, she died in 2004. Jackie Cooper. 1921, Tommy Lee Jones in 1946, and that's where I'm going to end it.
Nell Carter was like 2 days ago. I got very excited.
Did not know that. She's she is great in
Her.
Side by Side by Sondheim, the cast recording. It's great in that.
I saw her play Miss Hannigan in a revival of Annie in '90s.
I think she would be great.
I think.
So let's let's just jump right into our interview with our friend from My Fair Ladies, Sam Seamock. What?
I said Sam.
Sam Seamock. It was a fun interview.
It was a fun interview.
We just did that a couple hours ago. Well, here it is, and I'm going to say goodbye to you, Nicole. I'll see you next week, and the rest of us will listen to Sam.
That sounds good, Lisa. I love you and miss you, and jazz hands to everyone.
Jazz hands. Here's that interview. Nicole, in keeping with this theme of the world coming back to life, the theatrical world coming to life, and Broadway coming back to life yesterday, we have an opening in Houston on the Broadway tour that I'm excited that we have someone here from, aren't you?
I know. It's Lincoln Center, Lerner and Lowe's My Fair Lady, back on the road.
It is. And it starts its tour in Houston at the Hobby Center. And we're fortunate enough to have Sam Seamock here, who plays Freddie Eynsford Hill.
Hey, how are you?
Hi, Sam.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on the show.
We are so thrilled to have you on the show. I'm excited that I will be able to see you in person tonight. I'm coming to the show tonight. Please don't, because I'll be there with my notebook. My Fair Lady, pretty obscure musical. What's it about?
Oh yeah. So it's based on a play by George Bernard Shaw called Pygmalion, which is My Fair Lady is basically, it's a lot of Pygmalion with songs added to it. And it's about this upper class British professor Higgins, who is a linguist, and he takes a Cockney flower girl and tries to make a duchess out of her, tries to make her a high society lady. And just by changing the way that she speaks and the way that she behaves. And, it's about gender, it's about class. It's a very heady and interesting and intelligent show. Our production is just absolutely beautiful. It's the Lincoln Center Theater production, sets by Michael Yergin and costumes by Catherine Zuber. These visuals are just like, nothing a lot of people have seen on stage before. Really, really beautiful.
Awesome. Now, I have not seen this production. This is the 2018 Bartlett Shore production, but My Fair Lady, from a feminist standpoint, is a little fraught, and you guys tackled a little bit of that with this. There's a slightly different kind of ending, is there not?
Well, I can't give away the ending. I think
But slippers are involved.
I won't have a job tonight if I give away the ending. So, but yeah, the slippers are involved, and so when Bart, our director, when Bart tackles a show like this, he often draws on the original source material. He looks at some of the original manuscripts and take some lines here and there. I think some moments are taken from the original Pygmalion or the 1938, I think, film by Gabriel Pascal. But for the most part, there haven't been a lot of changes. That line has not been changed. There's nothing changed about the ending of the show in terms of text. And I'm not going to give away the ending, but
I think it's relatively well known from the from most of the press that Eliza is a little bit more empowered in this version versus the older versions.
For sure. And I think that is what George Bernard Shaw had intended originally.
Oh, I'm sure of it.
Right. Shaw was not a romantic. He was fervently against the idea of marriage. He was a socialist before his time. This is all when Eliza is powerful, I think that Shaw stops rolling around in his grave. And in the originals, the original My Fair Lady, or actually no, it was the original Pygmalion. so many people had asked him, oh, so does, you know, does this happen? What happens here? Like, is there a romance here? And he actually wrote like a 10-page addendum to the play, just basically saying, here's why this would never happen. Here's why this would never happen. Here's what actually happens, just to like put everything to rest and tell you exactly how I envision the ending of this.
I love George Bernard Shaw. Actually, I knew him, but to me, he was always Bernie.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Now, you play like the secondary love interest, if you will, like the part of the boy meets girl, boy loses girl. You're in the boy loses girl section. Kind of.
I mean, I don't want to give away the ending or anything. I like to think, I think.
I didn't talk about the ending, Sam. That wasn't the ending. That's the middle. We can talk about
that
the middle.
That is the middle. I'm in the middle. I'm just in the middle, you know, but, I absolutely love it. Freddie is such a fun character to play. He's got one of the best songs in musical theater, On the Street Where You Live. And it's just a joy to be able to sing that every night. And it's such a gift, especially after the last year and a half. Yeah, you know, Freddie Eynsford Hill is just this privileged upper class British boy who doesn't quite fit in our version. He doesn't quite fit in society, and he sees Eliza and recognizes her as a kindred spirit of sorts, and as a beautiful young woman, and is just sort of enamored, and is a kid who doesn't quite understand how to go about getting the girl, but he is going to try.
Awesome. Well, we're almost out of time. But obviously we're coming back, theaters coming back all over the country. And right now, today, yesterday, we're in a bit of a fever pitch because, 4 shows opened on Broadway or came back yesterday, and more are on their ways. How does it feel for you to be back on stage after this whole 18-month mishigas?
It is absolutely incredible. There was a point at some of the low points of the last year, there were times where I thought that this was never going to happen again, you know, and if not, you know, not necessarily theater in general, but certainly, you know, me doing this show or this show happening, and to get out there and see all those faces in the audience and feel the energy bouncing back and forth from the stage and the audience, it feels like audiences have never been more supportive. For me, there's no better feeling in the world.
Well, that's awesome.
That's awesome.
Sam Seemock, thank you so much for joining us on Offstage and On the Air.
Thanks so much for having me.
My Fair Lady is playing in Houston at the Hobby Center through the 19th. For more information, you may visit houston.broadway.com.
I have often walked down the street before, but the pavement always stayed beneath my feet.
Okay, you've done it. You spent an hour with me and Nicole at Offstage and On the Air. We had some great interviews. I am going to be leaving right now to drive to Houston to watch My Fair Lady. I'll report back on that next week, and you'll all know what's going on. So remember, go to offstageonair.com and get those interviews and other links from the show today. And we'll leave you with an apropos song from the show that I'm not going to even tell you what it is, because you're going to figure it out just by listening. We'll see you guys next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air. Bye.
You say the price of my love is not a price that you're willing to pay. You cry in your tea, which you hurl in the sea when you see me go by. Why so sad? Remember, we made an arrangement when you went away.